Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Even long-suffering Cork football fans are getting on to say what a guy Michael Dara is, and lots more texts of people saying what an interesting guy he is and what a nice guy. Okay, and we're going to go to something entirely different now. It's almost 6 months since the release of the film It Ends With Us, right? You remember that. But the very public row between its stars, Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni, who was also the director of the film, is only getting more vicious all the time. Smear campaigns, allegations of Hollywood power moves, lots of lawsuits. I think people don't know whose side we're supposed to be on anymore at this stage. Author and arts journalist Aoife Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
So Aoife, just take us through, so there was kind of chatter when the film came out.
Yes, exactly. So It Ends With Us, you know, was huge on Book Talk, a massive big phenomenon. So there's a lot of attention going to be paid on this film when it eventually came out. And it was directed by a guy called Justin Baldoni, starred him as Ryall Kincaid, a neurosurgeon. You don't bump into them every day of the week. And it also starred Blake Lively, very big Hollywood star, much more famous than him. So because there's a lot of interest in the book and a lot of interest in Blake Lively in particular, when this film was just about to come out in around August, there's a lot of attention paid to the press campaign around it. And the main reason behind that was it looked like everything wasn't all right in the camp who were making the film, because usually when you have a film like this where you have two leads playing a romantic couple and things go awry in between them in the film, there's going to be the two of them starring in the press campaign. So they're going to be doing interviews together, they're going to be on red carpets together, they're going to be doing all of this stuff to try and whip up kind of a frenzy of interest and what's happening, particularly as their relationship is at the centre of the story of the film. And instead, what you got was this idea of Justin Baldoni being on his own doing interviews, and then you'd Blake Lively with other members of the cast doing a lot of interviews together. And the questions were, hang on, why aren't they both starring in these, you know, press campaigns together? Clearly something isn't right. People were also looking at who was following who on social media and realised that while Justin Baldoni was following everybody, Blake Lively wasn't following him, and other members of the cast weren't. And Colleen Hoover, who's the author of the book, you know, was featured in the different kind of press clips with Blake Lively too.
Okay.
And just to add to that, sorry, as well, yeah, there was also questions around the tone of the press campaign and around Blake Lively's tone, because her tone is quite light. It was very much, you know, grab your friends, grab your florals, go watch this film. Whereas Justin Baldoni was leaning into the fact that the film was about domestic violence and abuse, and he was bringing that up during his press campaign interviews too.
Okay, so far, kind of speculative gossip and internet sleuthing.
Yes, exactly.
So then I suppose in December, Blake Lively filed a sexual harassment complaint against Baldoni, and the New York Times then carried this big report about Baldoni had hired this crisis manager, Melissa Nathan.
Yes.
And so tell us about the We Can Bury Anyone story.
Yes. So this, when the story landed on the New York Times, it was a real shift in the narrative, because up to this point, people had been particularly criticising Blake Lively, wondering why the two of them weren't getting on. And all of a sudden, you get this story, which is titled, like you said, We Can Bury Anyone, Inside a Hollywood Smear Campaign. It had a link to the legal documents related to it that you could read as well too, co-authored by the Harvey Weinstein investigator Megan Toohey. So a really big story for the New York Times. And basically, you know, was based around these documents that were submitted to a court in California, and it accused Baldoni, his co-producer Jamie Heath, and their production company Wayfair Studios of orchestrating a smear campaign against Blake Lively. And it detailed, you know, texts and communication between him and Melissa Nathan, this massive kind of crisis PR communications person who worked with Johnny Depp when he was in his case with Amber Heard, which, you know, kind of pinged a lot of things for some people.
Yeah.
Accused him of really working together to try and shift the narrative away from this idea that Blake Lively might have had complaints behind the scenes about Justin Baldoni's treatment of her, and that this smear campaign all happened online, and that was the reason why people were doing what I was just saying there a second ago, were criticising Blake Lively on social
Shades
media.
Shades of, if people have heard that podcast, Who Trolled Amber,
exactly.
we know how this kind of thing can
exactly.
work. So Blake Lively launches that lawsuit, and then Baldoni launched a counter lawsuit. He's also suing the New York Times for that story. What's he saying?
So there's a second part to the New York Times article, which is that you had the smear campaign, but then you also had the idea that that Blake Lively was accusing Justin Baldoni of sexual harassment, and that there is this list of demands that were made after they returned to filming the film after the writers and actors strike. And so she was accusing him of a lot of behaviour that she felt was really inappropriate, and this list of demands included, you know, don't talk about your genitalia, don't talk about pornography, don't talk about certain things, make sure there's an intimacy coordinator on set. And so when he came out with his, you know, legal cases or trying to get damages against her and the New York Times, he was saying that this, in fact, was a smear campaign against him. And he was saying that all of these were kind of trying to turn his reputation around. So that's why he's suing the New York Times for defamation. And he was also saying within the documents that he had released that, in fact, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds had tried to, I suppose, take control of a lot of the making of the film, and that he felt that even though he was the director, he was left in the background to the point where, you know, she was in the editing booth of the editor at some stage where there was two cuts of the film made, and that Blake Lively got the kind of say-so over the final cut of the film, and that on the night of the premiere that he was left in another theatre watching the film, was kept sequestered away from the rest of the cast and crew, and that Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds were out there on the red carpet, the face of the film. So it's really these two very strong kind of counterclaims against each other, both
centering
around
campaigns. And he's
basically
trying to make it a David and Goliath again, saying this Hollywood power couple had him dropped by his agent, and that they, that Ryan Reynolds has been very much dragged into this now. And like, it feels like at this stage, I know this week Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively now have moved to dismiss Baldoni's lawsuit.
Yes.
And then Baldoni's lawyer has been drip feeding out what he says is basically evidence. And there's been a website launched
last night. Yeah, exactly.
Nobody is coming well out of this really at this stage, are they?
No, they really aren't. And I think what's interesting, if you look at both of them reputationally, it doesn't look good for both of them, because this is dragging on very long. And I think it felt like it was very clear cut at one point, you know, just before Christmas, when you had that first article from the New York Times, and then you had Baldoni coming back about it. But now it's getting a little bit complicated, and they're both, you know, you have Baldoni and his lawyer you mentioned there, releasing video clips trying to prove that things that Blake Lively said are untrue, while her camp is saying, well, actually, that proves what she said is
so
true.
So you think ultimately there's lessons here for us all in how we consume this
stuff,
our media literacy, and how involved we get in these kinds of
stories.
There
are huge lessons, because like I went on today to a number of different, and yesterday and a few days before that, looking at different social media accounts, and there's people who feel very, very strongly about who is the hero or the villain in this case. And I think that we individually don't know anything beyond the documents that we read, but people have really made their mind up. And I think it's a real reflection of, if you look at American politics, the way the world is now, there's a real seeking out of who's the good person, who's the bad person. There's not a lot of, we'll say, room for nuance. Sometimes the person is, you know, can be very much the villain, but there is a seeking out online in the kind of discussions and the online sleuthing of who is the bad person in this case and who is the good person. A lot of people have decided that, I'm seeing online, that Justin Baldoni, will say, is the good person. And then there's no room for nuance in terms of, well, what is Blake Lively saying? And are there things that she's saying that actually could be true? But no, if you decide you're on Justin Baldoni's side, everything she says is wrong. Again, that does tie into the power that she has in Hollywood with her husband and the questions. And just to add one other element, that there is people involved in it too who are weighing into it, like Candace Owens, who is a kind of a conservative provocateur and right-wing commentator, who's now positioned herself within this whole discussion. And a lot of people in Ireland are encountering her for the first time and not realising she's not just a kind of a gossip fan.
So we're getting dragged into a culture war here again.
Absolutely.
Aoife Barry, thank you very much. We'll take a break.